forever. Dog.
Dream date or nightmare? This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's The Perfect Date.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kate Dye.
I'm one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today on the podcast, we are talking about The Perfect Date by R.L. Stine, a Fear Street novel.
Yep. Sorry for those clickety-clackities. I was just pulling up the Goodreads.
No worries. Sorry about my crying baby in the background.
It's okay. We've got a lot going on. You've got a crying baby. Mm-hmm. I've got a clickety-clackety keyboard and like some man outside that's very excited to be using a weed whacker. That makes me sound so sad.
Some man.
Look, you've got a crying baby. I've got a keyboard. Okay. I mean, so The Perfect Date, this is Fear Street number 37. This book was crazy.
This book was truly insane.
Fully insane.
Really went for it at the end in like several twists.
Several twists.
That it is like, I don't have to explain myself to you.
Yeah. No, and at the end I was like, honestly, respect.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you're right. You don't owe me anything.
It truly, like, you know how sometimes we're like, he didn't commit hard enough to the supernatural.
Yeah. Thing? He makes up for it in The Perfect Date.
More than, and also like, there are no fake outs here. Like, it'll be like, and then they crashed and he hit his head on the windshield. And then the next page, it's like, he's knocked out.
Yeah, he hit his head on the windshield. Did do that.
Like, every single one.
The closest it gets is the beginning when he's like, his hand was on fire because she had spilled scalding coffee on it. It's like, that's still like painful.
I know. I was like, hello, that lady that sued McDonald's, man.
Yeah. Which in the 90s, we were all led to believe that she was
a money broker.
That was a superfluous lawsuit, but like that poor old woman got her skin scalded off her legs.
Yeah. And actual damage to her muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
It was supreme negligence. And it's really wild how the narrative around that.
Yeah.
And it's all because of conservatives that simp for corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why it is bad that Twitter is going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that is a way to get information through outside of corporate news media.
And it's a way to get it, because I know that people look at Reddit as well, but like I feel like Reddit, you have to like look for things. Twitter is so integrated into our social thing that like you can just be scrolling and you'll see news.
Yeah.
So.
Then again, a lot of and misinformation lives there as well, so hard to say whether or not it brought more good than bad.
True. Well, say love.
We'll have to figure it out 200 years from now when their historians are sifting through the damage,
the Library of Alexandria,
the wreckage of America.
Dude, okay, so Perfect Date,
this book is fucking wild. Do you want to read about the book?
Yeah, okay. It's not very long. Mm-hmm. After his girlfriend's gruesome death 1 year ago, gruesome indeed, Brady is finally ready to get on with his life. He's met Rasha, and he's fallen hard. But he's also fallen into trouble. Terrible accidents seem to happen whenever Rasha's around, and a strange figure with a scarred face is following Brady everywhere he goes. Is Rasha really Brady's dream girl, or has she brought his worst nightmare back to life? Well,
all of the above.
All of the above. It is very funny how dickmatized Brady is, or I guess pussy whipped, we'll say.
Vagmatized?
Vagmatized. That sounds so diseased. Vagmatosis.
Vagmerized.
He's stricken. With
vagmerized,
vagmatosis. He, okay, truly, like, when the second he sees Rasha, he's like, bring.
She is the
one
for
me. And, like, she's like, she is the one for me. I mean, we do get a cold open of his girlfriend's gruesome death, which it is mm-hmm. in fact quite gruesome.
Sharon. Mm-hmm. Sharon. How surprised were you when she was in fact still dead at the end?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a trick.
Yeah, I thought this was, she was alive. Her family was held like a fake funeral for her
mm-hmm.
because she like didn't want to be out in the world with her hideous scarred face. And so better that she's dead.
Also, okay, here was my question.
She's dead. And killed someone else and took her body?
Yeah, killed someone else and took her body. I guess traded bodies with her. The thing that to me that's unclear and is not answered, nor should it be, is, okay, Brady is like completely head over heels for Rosha, but he's also dating poor Allie. I was like, Allie.
Allie, recognize that you are being ghosted.
She's too good for him.
Much too good.
Which I guess is the point. I mean, the book knows that.
Yeah, the book knows that Brady sucks.
Yeah, because it punishes him at the end. I do like that for a lot of these books, whenever it's a girl protagonist, she's not evil unless it's Silent Night. But then when it's a boy protagonist, it's so funny because it's always like, this fucking idiot is like gonna... like.
Yeah, there are a number of jerk mm-hmm. male protagonists.
And then they get their comeuppance at the mm-hmm. end.
That's true.
So Brady, the thing that I was confused about is like, okay, I'm about to say a sentence and it will sound insane, but it's what happens in the book. So Sharon. Well, not even really. Who the fuck is this other girl? Okay, who is the girl that Sharon takes the body of? Who is she? We never know her name.
We never find out her real name.
Okay.
No, she just goes by Rosha, which is an anagram of Sharon's name. She goes by Rosha Nelson. Sharon's name is Sharon Nels or something.
Mm-hmm. How was... Now, this is... Again, I don't think there's an answer for this.
Yeah, but the book really, truly just like throws everything at the wall in the end and makes no explanations for...
Yes.
For the supernatural science.
So, how was the scarred face girl... originally Sharon, how is her face scarred rather than off?
What I think is that she is a zombie.
Yeah, she's a zombie. Okay.
I think Sharon came back as a zombie, somehow killed another girl, and then possessed her, like did a body traded switch bodies. With her. Yeah. So the real Rosha is in Sharon's body trying mm-hmm. to warn Brady about Rosha.
I agree, and I think Brady lacks the vocabulary to describe
zombie. It's almost like being in a different culture that can't explain a technology.
Right, like...
We're in like his head, I guess.
The ship sails, so he can't, clouds.
Yes.
So he's like scars on her face rather than this is a zombie.
Well, okay. I think she does have scars on her face because it is Sharon, and Sharon's face got all fucked up.
Right, but then how could it be scars? Because Sharon died. Your scars indicates. See, that's my question. Scars indicates healing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But she died.
There's no with explanation.
Her face gone.
There's
her
face was no gone. Explanation whatsoever.
Yeah, I did think that was a cool death. Her face gets slitted off.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Brady does kill his fucking girlfriend. This is like that other book. Remember where the girl was like, "I don't want to jump off the thing. I'm scared," and then all the friends make her do it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I don't want to sled down this hill. And he's like, it will be fun. And she's like, I really don't want to do this. I'm really scared. And he's like, it'll be fun. Push. And she's on her own sled.
He's like, also, there's nothing in the way. And then it proceeds to, he's like dodging shit left and right. It's like, I know. Oh, pine tree. Oh, rocks.
I know. And also, like, she points out, she's like, the other hill doesn't have like all these obstacles, and he's like, you sound crazy because there are no obstacles on this hill.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. And then, like you said, he's like dodging trees and rocks and shrubs and all of this stuff
because this motherfucker is like basically wanting to sled down a ski slope.
Why is he dangerous doing one this? At that? Why is he obsessed with sledding?
Sucks.
Isn't sledding like for babies?
I mean,
I guess it could be fun. No,
a fun winter activity. But like, why does he have to do it here?
Okay, I'm going to Google. Is sledding for babies?
No, adults go sledding.
Sledding is a fun winter activity for kids.
Adults go sledding.
I know that adults go sledding. I do know that. But just like, he was being so obsessed, I would be like, you're being a baby idiot. Like, I would rather like ski down this thing. I enjoy sledding. I do. And I would do it today. But I think that he was being so annoying and weird about the sledding thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, perfect, perfect, perfect. And you think he's talking about a girl, but no, he's talking about this.
He's talking about this slope.
The slope. So she falls and scrapes her face. Where does she scrape it? Like down?
It's like, I think the sled did it.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because she gets thrown off and hit something.
And the sled sleds her face off.
Yeah, that was cool. And so then he's like, Sharon. And he runs over and he's like, oh no, she's not breathing. Flips her over. Face is gone. She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, whoa, smash cut two. This is a story of a girl. And he's like at school and he's like, man, or no, he's at like some pizza place. And he's like, that chick's a babe. And he's like very girl crazy. And he has a girlfriend.
And the girls are crazy for him.
Yeah, they are. Lisa likes him and Lisa doesn't like John and John's all sad about it. Dude, people die in this book.
Yes. Yep.
Wait, how come John isn't a zombie?
He didn't have the will.
Because he was weak.
Sharon came back on will alone.
She did.
Will to enact revenge on Brady pulled that bitch out of her grave.
Straight up, I would be that way too. You know?
Yeah.
I'm
very petty.
Yes.
And I would be so about my death. Most of all.
And honestly, what a wonderful trick to play on him too, right? Like, it is very specific.
Yeah, because you know his weakness.
His weakness is beautiful girls.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, great, I'll be the most beautiful girl. I'll kill this beautiful girl and take her body. And
trap him.
Trap him. And also just like do small acts of violence on him, spill coffee on him.
Yeah, the petty little acts of violence are very funny.
Like stab him with a little letter opener.
Stab him with a letter opener. Get in a car accident.
Mm-hmm. When he's not wearing a seatbelt, so he smashes his head into the windshield. And then when she's like, trade spots with me, she makes him trade spots with him. Like,
I don't have a license.
And he's like, what? But he's also woozy. And she's like, just believe me. And then the cops come and they're like, hey, are you okay? And he's like, oh yeah, it was slippery. And he looks over, she's gone. She ditched his ass.
Very funny.
And I did like too, or I thought it was very funny, that he was like, every time he started being like, she's maybe shady, she'd be like, hey, babe. And he'd be like, it's all forgotten. I love you. You're the most beautiful girl. Like, he investigates so much about her. And it's all troubling evidence.
Like, giant red flags. The reddest of flags.
Yes. Like, she doesn't go to the school, she said. She doesn't live on Fear Street, like she said. Whoa, that was a weird Fear Street.
Fear Street.
She doesn't live on Fear Street, like she said. What the fuck is this guy doing outside? He won't stop. I can't believe this.
I don't know.
She doesn't have anything in her purse. She doesn't tell him where she lives. She gives him the wrong phone number. She keeps harming him physically. And like every time he's like, hey, I think I got the address wrong because like your house isn't there. There's no house. And she's like, you are a fucking idiot. It obviously says this other number.
It doesn't say 7142. It says 1142, you fucking moron.
And she's so mean to him, like so mean to him when he
every time he brings up a very valid concern, like, hey, your phone number doesn't work. Or, hey, there's no house at this address you gave me.
Oh my God. Yeah. When he's like, I called the phone number and like it did that, like
gaslighting him so hard.
She's like, what is the fucking Inquisition? Why are you asking? She's like, the phone works.
Phone companies mess up all the time.
Oh my God. When she said that, I was like, what are you talking about?
It's like, this logic does not check out, Rosha.
And then he's such an idiot. I mean, at this point, he knows something's up with her. Because, okay, he ends up in the hospital, like, twice, right? Once for his head hitting the windshield, and then once for being stabbed. Dude, yeah. I was happy that Allie left him.
Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed when she was about to take his corpse ass back.
I know. Dude. Because so she... That, I was like, ooh. So, Rosha... He sees Rosha at the pizza place. He's like... Oogada, 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 wooga, wooga. And he's like, this girl is fine. That girl is poison.
That is poison. What she is.
Yeah.
Poison. Never trust a big butt and a smile.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, wow, she's the one. I love her. I'll do anything to be with her. And she's like, great, let's go out this weekend. And he's like, also, I have a girlfriend. I'm not going to really tell anyone. You know, and I was like, props to John. John was a good guy. He was like, he's like, Allie's my friend. And like, this is really fucked up. You need to tell her because like, stop with this. Like, you're being so fucking weird. I really liked John. Unfortunately, he does die.
Yes.
He was standing up for what was right.
Mm-hmm. Why, if he's like, I'm here with Scarface Girl. Mm. I found something out about Rosha.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know what? That's my call waiting. I'm going to prioritize this call waiting over telling you that your girlfriend's a zombie.
No, the call waiting was Brady's.
Was it?
I think so.
No, I think it was John's.
Maybe not. I mean, if it's John's, maybe John deserved to die. That was really stupid.
I would immediately be like, stay away from her. She's trying to kill you at the very least. Like, I understand why you might not want to say she is the possessed reincarnation of your ex dead girlfriend over the phone, because like, probably then you could be like,
you're crazy, hang up.
But I think it was John's call waiting.
That's pathetic.
And therefore John deserved to die.
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me?
Prioritize.
Yeah, I gotta check this, because that would be seriously maybe the dumbest shit that I've ever, like, dude, John, what are you doing? You can even, if you really, really need to pick up the phone, you could be like, she's trying to kill you. Hold on. I need to check the phone.
Oh, no, you're right. It was Brady.
Yeah, I thought so.
It was Brady. Because
Brady was like, maybe it's uh-huh. Rosha.
Hold on a sec, John. It's my call waiting. Let me see who it is. Hoping to hear Rosha's husky voice. Brady pushed the button to take the call on the other line. Hello? Hello? No one answered. Brady pushed the button again. I'm back, John. Silence.
That's because
John's dead.
Sorry, I'm yawning. That's because John's windpipe was fucking crushed.
With a marble candlestick.
So was that Rosha?
Yeah.
Who did that?
Must have been.
So then did that mean that the other girl, the scarred face girl, she just ran away?
Probably.
Okay, this is another thing. Brady is an idiot in many ways. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ways that he's an idiot is that his girlfriend died from getting her face slitted off.
Yeah.
And then he's being haunted by this scar-faced girl, and he cannot put the two and two together. He's like, who is this girl?
Also, why I'm sorry, but the fact that he didn't immediately recognize an anagram of the name of his dead girlfriend.
I know.
Come on. The name Rosha Nelson, you were dating a Sharon Nels.
Also,
like, barely different.
Yeah, Nels, and yeah, that's pretty easy. And here's the other thing. How much he had to have anagrams explained to him by Sharon.
Yeah, for two straight paragraphs.
Yeah, I was like, just say it. She's like, don't you get it? It's an anagram. And he's like, okay, so like, say it to me like I don't understand. And she's like, you know, like you move the letters around and you make another word. Sharon Nels, Rosha Nelson. And he's like, oh, and that was the other thing, like he reacts as if that explains everything. He's like, oh, you're Sharon. And I'm like, but like, how? Because you're not, you're another lady. And then who is the scar-faced girl? And then she shows up and she's like, stay away. And then they finally fight. No one explains anything.
Ever.
The fight was cool.
The fight was insane.
I feel like R.L. Stein in certain books loves to have these kinds of fights where someone's like arm falls off or their head explodes or, You know, this feels like some OG
insane thing happens to their body.
Yes. Where it feels, this feels kind of like the Simon Fear people, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because so they're fighting and what do we even call her? The scar-faced girl. They just say the girl.
Yeah.
She rips Sharon's arm off.
Rips it off. And off. I guess that's because she's a corpse.
Well, yeah, because at first when she was like, I want my body back, and she starts ripping her hair out from the roots, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Two creatures also, are like, able to rip it. An arm off. One.
Yeah.
Possessed corpses.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Incest moms who've only ever lived underground.
Yeah.
This we've learned from Barbarian and The Perfect Date.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just keep literally tearing each other apart till their heads, both of their heads fly off.
They are rolling down the hill, tearing each other apart limb to limb.
Oh, but this is after Rosha, Sharon, nay Rosha. Rosha, nay Sharon. Not sure which order we do.
Rosha, nay Sharon.
Would it be Rosha, nay Sharon? Because she's Rosha and then we find out Sharon again, you know?
Because Sharon took
the name Rosha. She was Sharon. She took the name Rosha. Yeah, so I guess it would be Rosha, nay Sharon. Yes. Rosha, nay Sharon strangles him and he's like, I'm dying. And then someone's like, wait. But then I guess he did die. So anyway, he gets strangled and then he watches them fight. They're rolling down, like you were saying. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's okay. And then they just disappear.
Disappear into the snow. That's it.
And then he goes to try to get Allie to forgive him and date him again. And he's like, it is complicated by the fact that I am, in fact, dead.
Right. He's like, there's just one thing. I'm dead. And she's like, get away from me. Like, why? He's just like ruining her life. Poor Allie.
Mm-hmm. She didn't need this.
Dude, the way in which he cheated on her, too. He had so many opportunities to tell her. This is the other thing. You're in high school. You're not like this is you've got nothing to lose. They'll be fine in like a week. Just be like, hey, this isn't working out. I don't want to be with you anymore. Goodbye.
And he is a guy that seems to always play the field. So I don't know why he's having so much trouble breaking up with Allie.
I think because she's so nice.
I guess.
And she's so genuinely deep down worried about him.
He shouldn't, I guess.
He's talking about
dating other people even before he sees Rosha. He's like possibly going to ask out the girl behind the counter at the pizza place.
He's going to ask out Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Lisa, who we never meet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mortal enemy of Blord. I'm so yawny right now. I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me.
No worries. I got about 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
This is Ramona. I am extremely tired.
I probably got that amount, but because my tummy was hurting. I was just like awake with tummy aches.
I said like, I think I have magical pregnancy hormones giving me energy.
Yeah.
I think
are they leaving you?
Starting to go away because I'm so tired.
Oh no.
Maybe it has something to do with my milk production being down after my booster. Oh my God,
you're making me yawn. How many people at home are yawning? If you're at home and you're not yawning, then you are a psychopath.
Yeah. Then you hate us.
Then why do you want us to die?
Why don't you like us? Why do you listen and not like us? Because someone who likes us would have yawned.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But this book commits to a supernatural element throughout the entire thing to a point where it's like so supernatural because it's like, I don't know, they're zombies. He's a zombie now. We're not going to explain it. He's dead. That's it. I mean, what does that mean for him? Who knows? The end of the book. Literally, he's like, too bad I'm dead.
End of book.
End of book.
It really commits to the supernatural element and not explaining the supernatural element. And I respect that.
Me too. I was like, great, fine. I honestly, you're going to commit that hard to something so bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
I like you that you are making
anyone anything.
Right. And I like too, because it definitely seems intentional where they're just like, yeah, I'm just not going to fucking explain it. Because like, why? Like, because like, I don't know how it happens. It's just weird magic. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Great.
You can just decide something is weird magic.
Yeah. This was what, oh, yes, you're right. Oh, it was many things that got rid of her face. Sharon's face, her cute button-nosed face. Nothing was left of it. No eyes, no lips, no face, nothing. The thorns and metal sled runners had sliced it to red mush. Nothing remained but a pulpy mass of skin and crushed bone. A bright red puddle of blood on the crisp white snow.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this one. It was a really fast read.
Oh, I liked this book.
Just like keeps the pace well.
Mm-hmm.
It's sufficiently insane mm-hmm. and entertaining.
Yeah. And it's just irreverent and like just like this feels like one of those really low budget, insane horror movies from like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I don't know, this is what happens. I thought this was a fun book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading the reviews on Goodreads. A lot of people don't like it. Okay, see.
A lot of people are wrong.
Giuri, I love this person. Get this. Do you want to hear their review?
Yes.
A wonderful, incoherent little story. The ending is batshit crazy and makes no sense. Just the way I like my Steins. 5 stars.
That's correct.
That's correct.
That's the correct interpretation. I'm sorry to people with differing opinions, but there is one correct stance on this book, and it is that one.
It is that one. That person agrees with us. Because there are people that were like, the ending made no sense. Like, I hate it. 1 star. I wish I could give it negative stars. I'm like, then you don't read an R.L. Stein.
Yeah, what were you hoping for if not this?
Yeah, exactly. This just isn't the right thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see. Okay. So now that I'm logged in, because I want to see what else this person has reviewed. Very short reviews. Whoa. Okay. They're reading something not in English. Huh. They don't have as many reviews as... Oh, no. Here they are. I would say read this one. It was so fast. Like you said, very quick read. Literally. Remember you texted me and you were like, are you reading it right now? I was like, I could finish it in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think I finished it in about 45 minutes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If not, honestly.
Yeah.
I was powering through this one.
Very, very, very easy read. Very silly, silly read.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything else to say about this book or anything else we can talk about.
Yeah, I think because it is such a fast, fun read, I don't have a ton to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let me go really quick through it.
Okay.
Brady, he's sledding. His girlfriend doesn't want to sled down the thing. He's like, too bad. He pushes her down. She dies, loses her face. Now, it's a year later. He's trying to get on with his life by playing the field. He's dating all around, but mainly he's dating Allie, but he's horny for every single girl on the planet. He sees Rocha at the pizza place. He walks up to her. She's like, why don't you sit down? And he's like really nervous around her because she's like the most beautiful girl he's ever seen. She spills really hot coffee on his hand. He's like, trying to play it cool. He's like, it's fine, but it like hurts really bad. The next day, also he's like, damn, I don't know what I'm going to tell Allie because she's my girlfriend and I like had plans with her and I don't really want to break up with her yet, but I really want to be with Rocha. John's like, he's like, something's off with that girl. You should tell Allie that you like don't feel it anymore. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do any of that. Next day, he goes to school. Allie's like, oh my God.
Thank you for now. Thank you.
Allie's like, oh my God, babe, your hand is like super swollen. He's like, yeah, I spilled coffee on it. And John's like giving him looks like, okay, like you're being a liar. And he's like, I'm going to ignore that. And then she's like, are we hanging out tonight? And he's like, oh damn, I forgot. Like we had plans. I have to babysit my cousin. And she's like, your cousin? He's in 9th grade. That's a little old. And he's like, I have another cousin, stupid Charlie. He's 8 and he has a flu. So you can't come with me. Cause she's like, well, I could come with you. And like that, I was like, girl, Allie, when she was like, well, I didn't even really want to go out. I'd wanted to hang out with you. I'd hang out with you while you babysit your cousin. And he's like, no, he has a flu. And it's okay if I catch it, but you shouldn't. And she's like, okay.
My nephew or my little cousin, Chucky, who's 8.
Oh, right. Chucky. Like,
you are making this up.
I know. And then he's like, okay, bye. I have to go. So he meets at the mall. Oh, right. Because Rosha's like, he's like, oh, I'll pick you up. Where do you live? And she's like, actually, like, I'm going to be shopping for my mom at the mall. So, like, just grab me there. And he's like, okay. And I was like, first sign.
Yeah, this bitch does not have a home.
She does not have a home. So then he meets her at the mall. They go to the movies. They have a fun time. And then she's like, let me drive your dad's Oldsmobile. Your dad's souped up Oldsmobile.
This, her being like, I just need to feel the horsepower of an Oldsmobile. I need it. I must know the rush.
I know. And he's Oldsmobile. Like, he's like, you know, you're right. That is undeniable.
And so, yes, I will let you drive.
And she's like, great. She drives. He's not wearing a seatbelt. She crashes the car. He smashes his head against the windshield. She's like, great. We have to switch spots because I don't have a license. And he's like, what? And she's like, just do it. They do. She ditches him. He goes into the hospital.
The cop walks up, is like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, is anyone in the car with you? And he turns and she is just gone.
Her ass is gone.
She's just exited the vehicle.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, oh my God.
Very funny.
And then he's like, oh man, my head hurts, but I'm gonna keep living my life, which is cheating on Allie with Rosha. So then he's like, Allie's like, why don't we do a study? We're doing a study night. And like, remember May's ice skating party, which actually sounded really fun.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to go to May's ice skating party?
Which the ice skating party is that it's really cold in the winter and their neighbor fills the like parking lot with water and then everyone can ice skate on it, which seems really fun. And he's like, I need to not be involved in that and instead go with Rosha. But he's like, I'll figure that out later. And he's like, yeah, I'll go with you. And she's like, okay, and remember, we're like studying at my house. And he's like, oh, right. So he goes to her house. He's with John and her. And she's like, oh my God, is your head okay? Like, and he's like, yeah, I feel really weird. And like, I have to go because my head hurts. And she's like, do you want me to take care of you? And he's like, no. But instead he's like, I just want to like obsess about Rosha. Like, that's why he's leaving. It's not even to go hang out with her. It's just to, like, think about her. Yeah, he's
just like, I can't, I'm too distracted. I just need to, like, clear my head and think about Rosha alone in my room. I guess what he's really saying is, I have to masturbate. Yeah. Like, I have, like, this horribly painful hard-on. I've had it all day.
Yeah.
The only way I'm going to be able to get rid of it is through hours of masturbation alone in my room thinking about Rosha.
He's like, I've had this thing tucked into my belt, like, for hours and it's quite painful, so I need to bait it out in my house. so he leaves, understandably. We've all been there. He's like,
we've all had that
reaction. He's like, man, one wrong move and I am gonna come all over the place, so I need to be in my house to just really jerk it to thoughts of Rosha. So he leaves to go do that. He's like jerking it all over the place thinking about Rosha. And then she shows up and he's like, oh my God, what a coincidence. I was just baiting about you. And she's like, cool. He lets her in. She trips over a rug and he's like, oh, careful. Everybody trips on that rug. And she's like, yeah, for sure, for sure. And then she's like, oh my God.
I hear you.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, wow, I really love holding on to this really pointy letter opener. And he's like, cool. And then she walks, knock, knock, knock. Allie's at the door. And she's like, hey, I'm worried about you. Are you okay? And he's like, fuck, you gotta get out of here. And Rosha's like, what? And he's like, get out of here. So she tries to run out, trips on the rug, stabs him with the thing. He's bleeding everywhere. And this was another fucking cliffhanger that was like, he felt a stabbing pain in his abdomen. Turn the page, because he was stabbed. I was like, whoa. So then
the fact that it's like, oh, a pain, and that it is like supposed to be like comparable to the coffee spill,
right? But it was like, he's bleeding out,
like, you know, you've been stabbed, sir. It's a little bit different,
right? And then he can't control that Allie comes in through the door. Allie comes in through the door and she's like, what? This girl just attacked you. Who is she? And he's like, no, it's like more complicated than that. And then he passes out. He goes to the hospital. He's rushed to the hospital where he comes out of it and sees the scar-faced girl who he's been seeing nonstop. And she's like, I have to tell you something. Rosha is... Door opens. Doctor's like, no visitors. And he's like, what? She leaves. He doesn't know the secret about Rosha. He also had been looking for Rosha. Went to the school she said she went to. She doesn't go there. He saw the scar-faced girl there too. Then he like tries to go to her house. She doesn't live there. He tries to call her. No one answers. And then he's finally at this point. He's like, oh, damn, I think something's up with Rosha. And then he's like, then John calls him and John's like, I have to get this out right now because it's like so important. So this Scarface girl, she's here. It's kind of weird what she said to me, but I think it's really important that I, and then it's like, doot, doot. And Brady's like, I have a call waiting. Hold that thought. Answers, it's not Rosha. Call back. No one's there. He runs over to John's house. John is dead, laying on the ground, throat crushed with a fucking marble candlestick. He's like, damn, this is crazy. Rosha calls. She's like, hey, meet me. I want to go sledding with you, baby. And he's like, okay, goes there. Rosha's like, isn't this view just perfect? Which is exactly what he was saying at the very beginning of the book when he killed Sharon. And he's like, and at this point, I'm like, how are we going to resolve this? What's going on? And he's like, kind of saying the same thing. And she, and Rosha's like, well, I guess it's time I tell you the truth. I'm Sharon. And he's like, huh? And I'm like, huh? And then I thought maybe she was crazy. She thought she was Sharon.
I felt very confident that she was, in fact, Sharon. Well, my guess up until that point, though, was that she was... So I thought that Sharon had lived. Her parents threw her a fake funeral.
And you thought she got plastic surgery?
And I thought that, no, I thought that this was going to be like Sharon's cousin getting revenge for on Sharon's behalf, but Sharon still being in love with Brady was trying to warn him and protect him.
And she's the scar-faced girl. Yeah,
that's
a good thought. That's not what happens, though.
No, I so much more enjoy what did happen.
Because what did happen is, as a zombie, Sharon kills a beautiful girl, somehow switches bodies with her, won't give the body back. And now the Scarface girl's like, I was weak then, but now I've gotten stronger, so I want my body back. They fight, rip off arms, legs, hair, heads, disappear into the snow. This is after he's been choked out and killed, so now he's a zombo. And he goes up to Allie, and this is after Allie was like, so I found out that, like, you've been fucking cheating on me. Like, you should have just told me you weren't interested. I don't want to be with you anymore. And he's like, understandable. But then now he's like, I want her back. And she's like, I guess I'll take you back. And she's like, oh my God, you're so cold. And he's like, yeah, because I'm a zombie. And she's like,
I'm dead.
Get away from me.
Strangled me.
And then it's the end.
Fucking crazy.
It was crazy. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely read this one. And that's the book.
I am glad that you decided to give a breakdown because
there was stuff we forgot.
There was some funny stuff that deserved calling out.
But thank you everybody for listening. If you want to support our show, patreon.com/teencreeps is a great way to do it. You can tell people about our show. You can leave a review. The Patreon listeners, you guys are really keeping us alive. We really appreciate it. A very special personalized shout out to our Patreon producers who give it the $15 a month level. Thank you, Aaron Fernandez.
Adam Howitz.
Amanda K.
Amanda Nangle.
Amy T.
Ann Dwyer.
Caitlin L.
Carrie H.
Charlie Burns.
Christina Descaro.
Courtney McPhail.
Danielle Amana.
Danny B.
Drew Waranis.
Ellie Lagos.
Emma.
Emma M.
Aaron B.
Gabriela Santiago.
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
Hannah L.
Jason H.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jesse T.
Jessica U.
Jonathan Venable.
Karen Lewis.
Kat Miller.
Katie Olsner.
Keith Anderson.
Kelly Burns.
Carrie N.
Coy.
Landry Desmond.
Larry Nguyen.
Laura Hooper.
Megan Lozier.
Melody.
Micah Eunice.
Miguel Camacho.
Miranda Hester.
Molly G.
Molly Marks.
Noah Spargo.
Rashad B.
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
Robert F,
Rogue Kalihua,
Sasha Gibson,
Shannon P,
Sylvie T,
Victoria Beck,
and Victoria Gray.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We will see you next episode. In the meantime, keep it creepy. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.